we meet a guy on the road and he's hiding behind a tree and you come across in a scooter and he'll feed you golgappe. Like, that really just does not happen.
Welcome to the Desi Outsiders podcast. I'm Ankita.
And I'm Meenal.
And in today's episode, we will continue to discuss the biggest business transaction, marriage.
It's a big topic to speak about. There are a lot of holes to fill in. And I still think two episodes is not enough.
I think even listener stories would make up an episode of its own. There's just so much we can discuss. And before we proceed, I think we should just give a recap. Because there's been a week's gap between these two episodes, so we can just recap everything we discussed in the previous episode.
I think the main message we spoke about in our previous episode was mainly an introduction to what marriage is in India. You know, we spoke about religions, we spoke about subsets of religions, communities, and of course, you know, we know a lot of things happen in India where people are from different states, people have different ages and different heights and surnames, and the list is endless. I think our main conclusion we came to was that India's pretty crazy right now with relationships.
Relationships and marriage and labels.
I just want to really emphasize that we mention all these problems that we face in India and Pakistan, or, you know, in our Asian community, but as being raised in Europe, I think that, you know, even in Europe, you will still find these problems. And you will find, not just with Desi people, but even with the Europeans themselves. Like, we can't forget that marriage is not something we just throw ourselves into. It's our life. It's our future. So everybody has issues to deal with. I think both of us, Ankita and myself, both believe that being raised as a girl in India or in Pakistan, we definitely face a lot more resistance than those in Europe.
And in the previous episode, I mentioned how I was privileged. I was privileged and lucky that my parents did not offer too much of a resistance. And my parents were really nice about it when I went up to them and told them about my boyfriend. And they were ready to listen to me and they were reasonable, etc. And now I think I want to go back and correct what I said, because it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be a matter of privilege. It's sad that I should actually say that I was privileged to be able to end up with someone of my choice.
Ankita, what you mentioned as privileged is pretty normal here, you know, outside of India.
Exactly.
It's a normal thing. And I think that we call it as a privilege because we don't find it so often around us. And anything that we find so rarely, we see as a privilege.
And it shouldn't be that way. It's wrong. You should never refer to that as privilege. It's something everyone should have the right to do. Like, make your own choice.
When we watch Bollywood movies or when we watch other people and we see, oh, they fell in love and it was such a fairy tale. And we see that as a privilege because we've been raised in such a way where we're not so exposed to seeing people fall in love and get married.
Yep. I mean, when I look at the future of the younger generations, what I like to envision is that they will grow up and they will not have to say that I was lucky my parents actually let me marry someone of my choice.
Yep.
I hope to God that, you know, at least the future generations don't have to say that. And I hope to God that the labels disappear.
Well, the labels will only disappear with time, Ankita. I mean, if we look at the perfect example, I mean, gay marriage, for example, was such a big problem 20, 30 years ago. I mean, when we have kids in the future, they will be shocked to hear that gay people couldn't get married. And in the same way, I believe that in 20, 30 years' time, kids who are born into our families or, you know, any Asian family, they would be surprised to hear that you didn't have a choice in getting married. That's really strange.
Exactly.
And I mean, I look at it in the sense that when I listen to my parents' story, I am just so shocked to hear that they met once. And it's the same way when we'll tell our future generation these stories, they will be shocked. And I really hope this happens. And
like, Meenal, if our kids, like your kids and my kids, go back and listen to this podcast and say, Mom, you had a podcast about this.
Yeah.
You know, if I get that reaction from them, God bless them.
Yeah, that's what we want. Exactly what we want. We don't want anything but that sort of reaction. And Ankita, I think we should really start speaking about our influences around us, because I did mention Bollywood movies and I did mention all these things that we are raised with. But what do you think, Ankita? What do you think really influences us to believe these things or to think about these ideas? Because a lot of your stories and interactions in our previous episode, I mean, you had so many stories and each person you mentioned had a different way of looking at things.
Yep.
So what do you really feel their influences are, or what do you think our influences are around us?
So I feel that the main problem is that a conversation does not happen or take place anywhere in their homes. Like they can't talk to their mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters about relationships. They can't talk about affairs. They can't talk about having a boyfriend and what a relationship entails. Like the only example they have, at least most kids from my generation growing up, the only example of a relationship between a man and a woman that they had was their parents. And they would look at that relationship, and honestly, Meenal, I've not seen my parents even tell each other that they love each other. Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen them hug each other, hold hands,
you've seen
and
hug?
Joke.
Wow.
Yeah, but
lucky child.
Yeah, but I've never seen them say things like they love each other. I've not seen them kiss each other, and I cannot imagine, you know, them as lovey-dovey, yeah. Not teenagers, but at least youngsters, you know.
Just imagine you're raised in a household where just term love or the idea of love is so restricted that I'm sure that even my parents, Ankita, I mean, everything that you've just mentioned happened in my household as well. But if you think about it, that if you have parents who fear to express their love to each other, I mean, how much are they going to be able to express to their own children? How open will they be to their own children? In the future, if their child goes up to them and says, you know, I love this person, or, you know, I want to speak to you about it, they won't understand because they've never dwelled into this emotion completely.
And another sad thing is that because these kids never grew up seeing this kind of emotion being expressed, so they know from the time they're children that they don't have the freedom to go up to their parents and talk about boy trouble.
Yeah, and the problem is, Ankita, that the only influence they have is movies, or the only influence they have is books or TV shows. And that is just the completely wrong idea.
I remember this time when my mom, so she basically has a carton full of Milton Bone novels, right? And she has like 40, 50 of those in her bookshelf. And as a child, they're these tiny novels, so easy to read. You can read them in one sitting, mm-hmm. and they're all love stories and tall, dark and handsome and blah, 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 blah. And always, you know, this really rich, powerful man falls in love with his secretary, blah, blah, blah. Or one of those novels that I sneaked in had something to do with the Saudi royal family. This prince falls in love with this woman who goes to tutor his stepson or something.
Yep.
Something like that. Basically, 50 Shades of Grey, but a more toned,
a more civilized version.
A more civilized version.
Wow,
without
what,
the kinky.
What was your mom reading?
Yeah, without the kinky. So my mom, from the time she was a teenager, I think she started reading these books and she was into that. I think she and her sisters used to read this or something like that. And whenever they could save up a little bit of pocket money, they would go to a bookstore and buy this, and they would have, I've seen books in which they have like both their names or all three names written together, yeah. and property of, etc. So when I was about to read it, my mom said, don't, because if you grow up reading this, you will expect a rosy romance. And I realized that she probably feels that she was misguided by that information.
Yeah.
The same way that Bollywood movies are misguiding, or even nowadays, reading a blog and looking at someone having a happy relationship.
No, even like Instagram, Facebook, you see these photos of people having a good time or going on holiday. And yes, they are having a good time if they're on holiday or whatever. But you don't know what they're actually going through. I mean, they must have taken that photo and 2 seconds later must have had an argument. You don't know. And people fall for these traps, Ankita. I know people who will maybe look at this photo on Instagram or a photo on Facebook, and they'll just turn around and say to their boyfriend or girlfriend, oh, you don't do this for me. Look at this couple. They're so happy. Look at how they're enjoying. And it's just the wrong way to look at it, because each relationship has its own unique aspect to it. You know, not all couples will go on holiday, romantic holidays. Not all couples will bring roses. Not all boys will sweep you off your feet. And
not everyone will cook for you.
Yeah, and we are very deluded. We're very deluded about this. And we have to understand that in any relationship we go into, that person always, I mean, everybody brings something different to the table. And we have this terrible idea that we meet a guy on the road and he's hiding behind a tree, and you come across in a scooter and he'll feed you golgappe. Like, that really just does not happen. And people just think that these things happen, but... Bitches,
sorry, I need to laugh for something. Oh, where did that come from? Yeah, but I see the point. Like, I think there was a trend in Tamil movies where they would show college romance, and there's this guy doing his mechanical engineering, yeah. and there's this girl, his junior preferably, who comes to college and he saves her from ragging, and then they start dating. And the whole idea is that they go on bike rides and they go to the beach and they share food and they, you know, talk a lot, etc., etc. I remember one of my roommates, oh wow, the stories, oh wow.
And more stories coming in.
Oh, the stories are just rolling. one of my roommates, she was maybe a little older than me, but she was this girl who didn't have a lot of exposure, and she just came to the city, and you know, she really, really wants to have a boyfriend or something. And she talks to me about this other roommate of ours who has a boyfriend, and they go on bike rides and everything, and she's like, it's like that movie, isn't it? Their romance is like that movie, your romance is like this other movie.
Oh, wow.
And it's all movie for her. So I said, why is it that movie? So she said, look, they go on bike rides, they met like this, mm-hmm. They go to this place, they have a favorite restaurant to eat at. It's like the movie.
Yeah, but I think Ankita, it's the problem is that we, to some extent, we try and find solace in these movies. We've been raised in such a way where we believe that these things will never even come to our hands. But that's wrong. It will. It can. You just have to, you know, you just have to be patient, and you have to live your life.
But just don't live your life expecting it to be
Of course not. And I think, Ankita, that watching these movies, or I mean, reading books, watching movies, yeah, you know, it's a great thing to do. But we have to some extent, we have to understand that no boy is going to make you happy for the rest of your life. No boy is responsible to keep you happy. No boy is responsible to keep you sane. And it's the same way vice versa for boys who are listening as well, that no girl is there to take care of your problems. No girl is there to be a therapist. So you have to learn how to deal with these problems by yourself.
Not just girl or boy, even your parents are not going to solve your problems, or your happiness does not depend on whether they are in a good mood or not. Because I used to be that girl, Meenal. I used to watch Bollywood movies and expect to have a fairy tale, everything. And then one day I grew up, and slowly I started realizing it's taken such a long time to come to the stage where I know now that my happiness is in my hands alone. I'm married, I'm in a happy relationship, all of that is true. But if we have a problem or we argue or something, I try my best not to let that affect my happiness, because I cannot give away that control to someone else.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
To a boyfriend, a spouse, a parent.
To anybody.
No.
And we,
it's in my hands.
And I think because the way we've been raised and our upbringing, girls especially usually tend to be quite dependent on their parents. Guys,
yep.
maybe will, you know, let go of that at some point in their life when they go off to work or when they go off to study. But a lot of young girls are dependent on their parents,
yep.
and they rely every day for their parents to keep them happy or for the parents to do something for them. And that's a really bad stage to be at, because you have to understand that one day you're going to want something and your parents are not going to be there to give that to you.
They're going
to
say no.
They're going to say no. And then you're going to be in a situation where you won't know what to do and you won't know how to deal with it. So your influences, your expectations around you, you have to start calibrating it in the right way. And you have to start understanding that actually this is my life. I am an individual person. I'm not codependent on anybody. So Ankita, you can tell us about you and Shane. I mean, you are two independent people who do things together and you enjoy things together. But at the same time, you have your own personal hobbies and you have your own separate lives.
So we, Meenal, we have completely different hobbies, and at the same time we have a few that it's like a Venn diagram.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have a few hobbies that we both share, not necessarily the same things, but they can just be interconnected. For example, the blogging thing that I started, it was a hobby at first, and he was interested in creating the backend stuff, like writing code, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, this podcast, which I started as a hobby, he's doing the backend stuff even now because he likes doing that. So these are a few shared interests that we have, but not necessarily the same thing,
mm-hmm.
right? It's not about writing for him. It's not about writing code for me.
Yeah.
But it comes together. But at the same time, we are completely different people. He likes playing his games and I like reading my books.
Mm-hmm.
We just mind our own business. And if he says one day that today I'm in the mood to play games and I really don't want to sit and watch something with you, I want to play my game.
Yeah.
I let him do that. And just day before yesterday, you wouldn't believe it, I woke up at 5 in the morning and I see that he's still playing his game.
At 5 in the morning?
At 5 in the morning. So he started by like 7 p.m., I
Whoa.
Think. So 10 hours straight, he had something to eat and that was his only break, and he kept playing and playing. It's his, I don't know, that's how he copes with stress,
yep.
or that's how he copes with everything.
Yep.
it just makes him happy. And at 5, I had to put my foot down and say, you know, you have to come back to bed because tomorrow is a long day. It was on Friday night, and Saturday we had a long day planned with our friends, yeah. and we had a lot of stuff to do. I said, if you don't do it now, you're going to be drowsy. And then he wakes up on Saturday by 10 a.m. and he says, you're just so loud, I couldn't sleep.
Oh, so it's your fault.
Now all of a sudden it's my fault. But the thing is, you know, we give each other that kind of space. We give each other the space to do whatever. Sometimes I stay up till 3 in the morning watching something or reading something, and he leaves me alone.
Yeah.
So that kind of dependence is never good when you need, you know, someone to come to bed with you.
And if you start hindering his hobbies, or you start coming in the way, that yeah. also affects your relationship. And I think the most important, like, one thing that I've learned is that you have to learn how to have your own personal hobbies, because that's what really gives you that basic level of happiness, you know, yeah. that basic level of sanity, that you're doing this by yourself. And when you build on that, and then you can, you know, go towards someone. But if you go to someone as a completely broken person with no self-reliance at all, I mean, you can't expect anybody to just pick you up and say, okay, let's do this together, let's do that together. There's only so much that you can depend on one person. And to some extent, Ankita, you and Shane, you know, you rely on each other because you're a team. But yeah. that's a different stage of your relationship.
Yeah, but there's so much that I learned only after living with him. And we started living together only after we were married, right? So there's just so much. So this thing I told you about leaving people alone and letting them do what they want to do when they want to do those things,
yeah.
I learned that just, I can say, maybe half a year ago, because till then I would feel dependent on him. And I would say, you know, I can't fall asleep when you're not right here or something like that. And then I realized that that is not making him happy.
And I think that, okay, before you get married, I know it's not an easy thing to say, okay, let's try and live together before we get married. I mean, especially in our, you know, in the culture we live in, it's not so easy to do that. But like, as you just said, that you've learned how to deal with it after you got married. Now, before you were married, or before you, when you were just in a relationship, how much did you really depend on him, on your happiness? Because
that was easier because we were not in the same place. We had more of a long distance relationship. So if we had an argument or a disagreement, mm-hmm. we would just mind our own business, and we'd decide that, okay, I'll talk to you later. And by then we both will be calm.
Yep.
And we can discuss
yep.
this. But once you start living with someone and you're mad at them and you keep seeing them.
Yeah, I'm just there all the time.
Yeah.
A lot of young girls get into relationships very young, you know, at the age of 12, 13, 16, 15. I think that's the age where you're growing up, you're going from teenagehood to adulthood. That's a time in your life where you start to develop your own hobbies and you start seeing life in your way. But when a boy comes in, you forget all of that. And you start to live a life through his eyes as well. And I think that is very wrong, because that's stopping you from being your own unique person, your own individual person. And we have to understand that there's a beauty in everybody. And don't let any relationship or don't let anybody come in the way of that. You know, express it yourself, develop it yourself, grow yourself. And only then you can really have a good functioning relationship.
I mean, I wish someone had, the things that you said right now, I wish someone had told me that when I was 16 years old and I was in my first relationship and I thought I was going to marry that dude because, you know, I'm in love
yeah.
and this is Bollywood and this is my
fairy tale. Nobody told me this either, but it was only through my own experiences and my own, you know, living away from home and living away from my loved ones. I had to find that solace in myself, and I had to find those things that keep me happy. And this is when I started developing my own hobbies. I don't think I would have done any of this if I was at home.
Right.
And I don't think I would have done any of this if I was close to my loved ones, because I would just depend on them every day to keep me occupied.
Exactly.
You know, we just want to fill in these holes every day just to pass time.
That's perfectly normal. And that is something I can relate to so much, Meenal, because we are hardwired to be dependent on everyone else to occupy our minds or to entertain us or to find happiness within our relationship with those people,
yep.
right? Not necessarily just a better half or a spouse or anything. Now that we're talking about these influences, I think I should put it out there that I was the typical Indian teenage girl who watched Bollywood movies
yep.
and sneaked in some of her mom's Milton Boone novels into the bathroom to read them.
Mm-hmm.
read them. And when I got into a relationship with someone at the age of 16 and was so naive that I thought, wow, I'm in love and I'm going to marry this person, etc. And we were such immature, because the person I was dating was also my age, right? And we were so immature and so stupid. And we just did not have anything else occupying our brains.
Yeah.
You know, apart from schoolwork. And then there's this relationship which is just not happy. Like, both people, two immature idiots trying to control each other.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
and trying to, so I'm trying to make him behave in a way that would make me happy, and he's trying to make me behave in a way that would make him happy.
Yeah.
And in the end, I hope we've both grown up.
And I think, Ankita, it's really interesting because you had most of your teenage life in a relationship. For me, yeah, it was a complete opposite. I was not. I was my own person. I was doing my own thing. And I think a lot of it had stemmed from the fact that I was just too scared. And also, I mean, I wasn't surrounded by many interesting people either. So I think that it's really interesting to see, because I lived my teenage life, and before I'd come to university, I was just dwelling in my hobbies. I used to finish school. I used to come home and I used to run. I used to do everything that made me happy. And I really miss that. And I'm really trying to bring that mentality back into my life again, because it really was, you know, wake up in the morning, go to school, come back and just do all your sports and then come home and sleep.
You were living for yourself, basically.
Yeah, Ankita. And the thing is, like, you know, at that time, I think about it now, at that time, it didn't matter if I went to bed at 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. or 12 a.m. I still woke up at 7 every day. I still got on with my life for school.
Okay.
School, and then I'd go to school, I'd come back, and I wouldn't just, you know, hang around, watch TV. I'd go straight into my sports, I'd go straight into my running. And Ankita, that was because I was dependent on myself. And of course, around me, everyone had boyfriends, everyone had their own relationships going on, but I really just didn't give a fuck, you know? It was like, I don't care, I'm happy, and I'm really, like, proud of that, because it was a moment where I really believed that I was my own person.
You were serving yourself, Meena, and that is the best kind of service.
Yeah, and when I came to university, and the most important thing, Ankita, I had that mentality when I came to university. I left home and I lived by myself. I had no problem. It was a time in first year medical school. Everyone is stressed. Everyone is trying to pass all their exams. But Ankita, I still look back and I think that was the best year of my life. It was the best year of my life because I was facing those challenges head on by myself. And that was the best feeling because I was conquering every day. Nobody was with me. And when I came to university, everyone was finding a boyfriend. People started moving in together. People started doing all these things. Oh, my boyfriend's coming over. I'm going to stay. I just kept thinking, like, I don't need that. And I didn't need that, Ankita, because I actively made that decision when I was a teenager that, you know, I really just want to be my own person. And I'll only get into relationship when I feel that this person is worth it or when I feel completely ready. And I think the main influence I had, Bollywood movies maybe made you feel like, oh, you know, fairy tale, whatever. But for me, I was like, you fucking stupid people. Like, this is not. So I had a completely
I had that at that age.
And I had a completely different outlook because, and I think it was because I had that outlook because in my family, I'd never seen this love. I'd never seen this romance. Or even around me in my community, I never saw that. Or I was never, maybe because I was living a sheltered life. So anything I saw, I just knew that it wasn't true. I just knew that this would never happen. And I brought this on with me into university as well. So I never relied on anybody to keep me happy. And I really want our listeners to understand this, because in any relationship, happiness is always multiplied. So Ankita, if you're happy, Shane will be happy. And if you're not happy, then it starts bringing both of you down. So you have to learn how to be happy in your own world and not depend on other people.
You know what I love about this tangent we just went on about relationships and everything? It's two completely different perspectives. There's this one person who was raised in India and was raised watching Bollywood movies and fell for it, right?
Yep.
And grew up being stupid and had a boyfriend and tried to control him to be what she wanted him to be. And there's this other girl who was raised outside of the system and did not see a lot of affection being exchanged between her parents and all that. That is fine. But then still, you watch the Bollywood movies and you still thought that this was stupid.
Yeah, and Ankita, I never really craved attention in that way as a child.
Yep.
And I think now that's changed, because now I believe that I'm almost at the end of my studies. I want to have a future. And of course, I want someone to give me that attention. I want to have a family. I want to, you know, move on with my life. So to some extent, yes, it was a good thing. But to some extent, it might not be such a great thing, because it sort of just makes you kind of cold hearted. When someone gives you a hug, you're like, why are you hugging me? You know? And actually, I mean, so being raised in a family where my parents didn't show me any, you know, sort of physical affection, they didn't cuddle me to sleep or they didn't kiss me goodnight or any of these things. Now I feel that I want to give this to my children. So I want to give those cuddles. I want to give those hugs because I know what it's like to not have it.
It's interesting you say this, because I grew up, my parents always cuddled me, showered me with kisses. And even on the day before my marriage, you know, the day before the wedding, I slept in between my parents, and my dad would cuddle me, my mom would cuddle. I took it for granted, and I never knew that, you know, you could possibly feel that you need to give it to your kids because you know what it's like to not have it.
Yeah, I think the thing is with my upbringing, Ankita, it was very sort of military. You know, you wake up in the morning, you have a shower, and then you go do your sports, because we always had to have structure in our life. We always had to have a routine. So my parents would say, you know, go do your sports, come back, study, and that's all it was. So
and to think that my dad was actually in the military and I'm like the most indisciplined little shit.
Ankita, it was probably because you were the only child and you were the girl, and girls are usually dainty, you know, everyone daints around them. I think my dad was very affectionate towards me, and he still is, and I'm his only daughter, and he really shows that. My mom does that with my brother. So, you know, there's always that divide. But I think that if you're raised in a family where you're always cuddled, where you're just showered with affection, this is what you're going to expect in your future relationship. But wake up, guys, that really doesn't happen. You know, that really doesn't happen.
Wow, I'm so glad we could bring both these perspectives into the podcast, because here I am with my, you know, cuddly upbringing and with all my Bollywood influence and all the expectations I had growing up, and there you are with a completely different perspective, and I'm glad we could bring it in.
Yeah, and I think that it takes it just really is your nature and nurture, Ankita. That's all it is. It's not something that you can teach people. It's not something that you can predict for people or force people to do. But these are just our ideas and our perceptions of what love is and what relationships should be like. But I really hope our listeners will tune in and, you know, give their own perception, because this is just Ankita and myself. Yeah. I don't know what other people have been through, and I don't know what other people might think.
I mean, we're just two girls hanging out and talking about our childhood, our teenage, and our influences and our perceptions. But, Meenal, I really wish, you know, when I look back at that time, I really wish I had someone I could just go up to and have boy talk with, you know, someone I could just talk to about the stupid things that I was doing. I wish someone would just tell me, darling, you're stupid.
But Ankita, I think that, I mean, I was raised in Europe, and it was just my parents, myself, and my brother. Now, I had a few friends around me, but the thing is, Ankita, even they were deluded. Even they were in that sort of bubble where they thought that, you know, life is a fairy tale. So I just actively did not even bother to start a conversation like that, because I just knew it wouldn't take me anywhere. Now, I would have loved to have this conversation with my mother.
Me too, right? That is what I meant. Like, I wish I could. So if my kid ever came up to me and spoke to me about boy trouble, I would love to tell her, you know, what it's like to be in a relationship. But I really didn't have the freedom to go up to my mom and talk to her about boy trouble.
Yeah, but Ankita, your mom didn't have that freedom to go to talk to her mom about it. So she just did the same thing to you. And it's the same with my mom as well. But I think that our generation, we have to be much more active in this. But we have to, if we see something that doesn't work well for us, and we have to make that change. And I have younger cousins, and they speak to me about whatever they want to. And I always help them, and I always try to give them my advice. But I never had that sort of elder sibling. I have an older brother, but you can't really talk to a brother about these things. You know, it's a bit awkward. So I think that one thing that anybody who's listening, if you feel that your mother or your elder sister, or if they're approachable, go ahead and talk to them, because you need that advice. You need that guidance.
You need their perspective and, yeah, guidance. Exactly. Because,
darling, if you're just 15 years old and 16 years old and you think you're in love, then
then you're stupid like me.
Snap out of it. You know, speak to your mom, speak to your elder sibling or your cousins or anyone in your family, someone you can really trust. And you know, just have that guidance and just have that perspective that life isn't just about you and a boy, you know, living a fairy tale life.
Now what does this have to do with marriage? So we just talked about the influences that result in weird mentalities when it comes to marriage and expectations regarding marriage. But here's an expectation that is fed to most of the girls in our society. It's this idea that marriage is a promise of freedom. So I don't know, Meenal, if you've ever heard this, but most parents and most families tend to say things like, you have to get married someday, so we'll protect your honor by curbing your freedom. freedom for the time being. So no late nights, no drinking, no smoking, no short clothes, no boyfriends or girlfriends, no internet, no chatting with boys, you know, no talking to people from the opposite sex, and even no mental health issues. Like, you're depressed, get over it. We don't want a girl who has had to go to a mental institution, yep, because who will marry you then? And, you know, even about internet and chatting, because even my parents did not understand at the time what the internet was all about. Yep. And the reason why they wouldn't let me go on Facebook or Yahoo Messenger or anything is because they were worried that I would start chatting with some random people online, mm-hmm, because that was the story that was propagated, that some girl somewhere started chatting with a stranger and then she eloped with him. And my parents just heard that. They took that bit of information in and they would say, no, you don't need access to the internet because you will find someone there and you will chat and then you will elope with him. Or, you know, so basic idea is that we will curb your freedom till you get married. And then you can do all of those things after your marriage if your spouse lets you. I've heard my mom say, like, you want to wear that dress? You wear that after marriage if your husband doesn't have a problem with it.
But Ankita, you've mentioned a very, very good point, because our parents do tell us, you know, once you get married, we'll back off, we'll stay away, do your shadi, and then we're not involved anymore. But Ankita, to some extent, we believe that as well.
We always say freedom comes on a silver platter once you get
and
married.
It's not, it really isn't like that, because, you know, I've spoken to a lot of people and a lot of people have told me that, oh, Mia, once you get married, then everything will change. But I don't believe that, Ankita, because marriage, as much as it is one of the most important chapters of your life or the most important chapter of your life, mm-hmm, there's going to be a whole story after that as well. And we always think that you get married and no one's gonna have any arguments, no one's gonna have a problem with you, no one's gonna judge you.
And you can do whatever the hell you want because that's what was promised to you.
Yep.
Like, you wanna do that? Do it after marriage if you want, is what everyone says, right?
Yeah. And I think that it's just a really stupid idea, because people think that you get married and that sort of, if you look at freedom as a graph, you would think that your freedom is escalating, and then it doesn't. You know, it will hit a plateau phase, it will be peaks, it will be troughs, and you will have problems with your own spouse.
I'm sure there's not a single girl in India right now, married or, you know, unmarried, who hasn't heard this. That get married and do whatever you want, because, you know, you have the freedom to do whatever you want after marriage.
But you don't, because after you're married, you still have responsibilities. You know, you're responsible of literally another human being. Like, it's just so stupid to say that you have that freedom. And Ankita, you've mentioned that people mention marriage as a promise of freedom. But if we take a step back, people also say that you start earning money, you can do whatever you want.
Oh, that's the first step. That is to encourage you to start studying and working towards this goal of earning money. But the main thing, especially for girls, is you want to wear that dress or go out clubbing, do that after marriage.
So people think that, okay, I will start earning money and then I'll have the freedom, then I can choose the guy I want. And then your dreams are shattered. The dreams are shattered right there. Because that doesn't happen. Because your parents will still be involved and your family will still be involved. So then you say, okay, I'll get married and I'll have more freedom. But even that doesn't happen.
I mean, my parents are still involved in my life, Meenal, to a large extent. Before this Greece trip, my mom called me to say, are you going to wear a bikini? Like 5 minutes ago, not 5 minutes ago, before we started recording this episode, she had called me and she saw my swimming costume and she was like, I like it. It's so nice. It's like a dress. It's blah, blah, blah. And then she's like, I was worried that you were going to buy a bikini. And I said, just because you said that, now I think I want to go and buy a bikini. No, just because. So I make it clear to my mom that although she's a big part of my life and I talk to them at 2 or 3 times a day and my parents are really important to me, all of that is great, but I cannot give her that kind of control over my life. Like, I'm not gonna not wear a bikini just because she asked me not to.
Yeah, I think what we all want is our parents or our family to be involved in our life, but not control.
Exactly.
And I think you made a very good point there. Like, you have to draw the line somewhere. Along the lines where you say,
I mean, they're always going to be a part of your life, which is great, but it's up to you how much control you give them, because to them, you are their baby, mm-hmm, right? No matter how old you are, you're 40, 50 years old. So to them, you are their baby. You may be 40 or 50 years old, but at the end of the day, you are their baby and they really don't know the boundary or the line. They will, as much as you keep feeding them with this freedom, they will keep coming up to you and telling you what to do.
Yeah.
But you have to put your foot down and say, no, mom, you do not tell me whether or not I wear a bikini.
Yeah, and Ankita, I know so many stories where, you know, the girl has got married and she said, oh, finally, you know, I'm out of this cage I was trapped in. they get married and then they have another family to deal with, and that's the end.
Yep.
You know, so you, the thing is, especially in Asian families, in Desi families, whether you're in India or in Pakistan, you will always get married into a family. You have to understand that you're getting married into a family. You're not just getting married to one person and you live your life. Yeah, it does happen. Of course it happens. But to a certain extent, you're getting married into another family and they have their own restrictions and they have their own policies and they have their own rules.
And they have been promised a nice, well brought up Indian girl who's going to listen to everything they say. And they are going to say no late nights. And this girl who was promised freedom will be like, but I was told that I can do it after marriage.
Yeah. And it doesn't happen. It really doesn't happen. So for those of you who are listening and you think marriage is a way to sort of escape,
it's a lie.
You think twice. I mean, think about who you're getting married to. Think about the family you're getting married into. You know, you have to be very, very careful about these things. And if you haven't done your research properly, you're going to get married to someone and then you're going to have more restrictions and maybe even more than what you had in your own house.
Yeah. I mean, the next time you hear someone tell you that you want to do this, do it after marriage, you will have the freedom to do it after marriage, understand that it's a lie. And if you want to do something now, start doing it now and, you know, stand up for yourself and put your foot down.
Yep.
Because if you practice it now, then you can do it at a later stage when someone else, you know, not necessarily your parent, but someone else will come up to you and say, don't do that.
So Ankita, I think just the last thing we should discuss before we end this episode is that apart from all these issues that we face related to marriage, related to love and relationships, we should mention how it's very common to see tables turning once you make your own decision in your life.
Oh, yes.
So once you decide to get married to someone against your family's resistance and against your family's beliefs, so you will get married and then one day you'll have a child and then your family will say, actually, you know, we'll start talking to you again. We want to visit our grandkids and we want to be part of your life again.
And sometimes it doesn't even take a child. There was this religious instructor or someone, this woman that I know of. So she was really proud of her community, her background, you know, where she came from, what she knew, etc. And she would even refer to herself and other women from her community as we, insert community name, mm-hmm. women, and stuff like that. And she always thought that she was superior, her community was superior to everything else in the world. And her daughter decides to marry a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And she's this really pious Hindu lady from this particular community that she's really proud of. So her daughter decides to marry a Christian, and obviously there's a lot of resistance and shit went down.
Mm-hmm.
But later this woman meets the same group of people and she addresses them and she says, what's in a religion? She says, all religions are a pathway to the same God. What's in a religion? You know, children can make their own choices and religion is not that important. It's all the same God, blah, blah, blah. And her daughter actually marries a Christian boy and everyone's happy because... So what I understood clearly from that incident is that she lost her battle. She put up a fight, she lost the battle, and now she's playing for her daughter's side.
It just shows, Ankita, that these beliefs that people have, or these beliefs or these ideas that people have, they're not all down to common sense. It's all to do with, okay, this is
ego.
It's all to do with, okay, people have believed this for 100 years, I'm going to follow it. And now when they follow it, why? Because of convenience. And they follow it because it's convenient to just survive in this society. Once things change, they will start looking at it from a different light, which is something that she should have done before they even...
So she puts up all this resistance and she goes through this mental torture and her daughter goes through mental torture, right? And nobody's happy. And finally, she realizes that the only way for her to not lose her child is to be supportive of her decision. And the good thing is that her daughter is independent financially and, you know, she has a job of her own, etc. The boy she chose for herself is also like that. They have a happy life together. All she had to do was accept it and not be so controlling of it.
The reason why this lady decided to turn the tables was because she probably realized that actually I cannot fight this resistance any further. It's just much more convenient for me to just say, okay, you know, it really isn't a big deal.
And it confuses me, you know, when the tables turn, it's like, where's your integrity? Where's the family honor thing you were talking about and upholding? You know, where did all that go? All of a sudden, you're saying that all religions are the same. Then why couldn't you have done that in the first place?
Yeah.
Why did you have to offer this kind of resistance? And another trend that I have noticed, Meenal, is, as you mentioned earlier, the minute a child is brought into the equation And if this child like looks like a grandparent, or this child resembles someone everyone loves, or this child, I don't know.
Or if they're the firstborn child, for example, yeah, it's a big example.
The firstborn child. So this couple, they elope. Everyone's angry with them. We are not going to let them back into this house ever again, blah, blah, blah. And they have a child, and they send a picture of their child to the families. And everyone's like, oh no, this child, I need to see my grandchild, and I'm going to accept this child back into the family. So what was the point of all that resistance? Why did that poor couple have to elope in the first place? Mm-hmm. Just so that everything gets resolved the minute there's a child. So is this incentive to the couples that are facing resistance right now, that the minute you squeeze out a baby, everyone's going to be happy with you? Is that the right reason for people to have a baby?
Mm.
You know, it's wrong on so many levels.
Yeah, and I think that when we speak about this issue is that we need to understand that we will always try and fight this resistance before you get married, or if you want to take any of your relationships further. But, you know, ultimately someone has to give in, or someone has to, or maybe not. I mean, some people are living their lives happily, not having to give in to anybody, and they do their own thing. But, you know, our families are very close to us. They're very close to our hearts, and they always want to be a part of us in some way.
Yeah.
And even if it means finding an excuse, like, you know, you just mentioned, then that's the only way to do it. Because, I mean, either she did that, or she would just say, or her daughter would just get married and she wouldn't be involved in her life. So the convenient way was to say, okay, you know, I'll just turn the tables completely.
So why not do that in the first place, right? Why offer this kind of resistance?
Look,
why waste so much time?
They don't
energy?
Do it in the first place, Ankita. One is because of just years and years of tradition that hasn't been changed, and years of sort of ideas which have been drilled into our heads for so long that we won't even think about questioning it.
It reminds me of what you told me about the Hindu Punjabi thing of attending the Gurdwara and the temple, and you ask someone about it and they don't have an answer, and they're like, oh, you'll find out when you grow up, or they don't really answer your question, because the chances are they themselves don't know. And that's probably because the generation that knew is no longer around to explain this to people.
Yeah.
It's just mindless. It's a mindless way of following a tradition that no one knows how it came about, how it started, etc.
And Ankita, these two episodes, we've spoken about how traditions and years of culture have influenced relationships and marriage. But I really wanted to tell our listeners that love is a big, big emotion, and it can be with your siblings, it can be with your parents, it can be with your spouse. Mm. And we will discuss this in the next coming episodes, that relationships with your parents and relationships with your siblings include love, but it's an all different side. And we all face problems again with parents and brothers and sisters. And we will talk about this in the next few episodes. So if you have any stories you'd like to tell us, or any letters you want to send us, any advice, anything that's on your mind, just please email us at mail@desioutsiders.com. And Ankita and I will try our best to go through everything and answer your questions. You can find us on social media at the Desi Outsiders, and you can keep up to date with what's happening. And also, I'd like to mention that we have our sister website, which is Feminism India, and please stay in touch through there as well. And all our writers are giving their own personal stories, and this is a platform for your voice to be heard. So stay in touch with us.
Until then, maybe try not using the term love marriage, while also remembering that love is the most important emotion that you should concentrate on, be it in terms of marriage or your relationship with your parents or your family.
So until next week, I'm Meenal.
And I'm Ankita.
And we are the Desi Outsiders.